the beginning, and I'll just fill in the major themes that we learned last week, and we're going to have to keep going through the chapter. V'yotzach Choter Mikes HaYishai, a shoot is going to come out from the trunk of Yishai, V'netzer Misharoshov Yifreh, and a twig will come out from, or a sapling will come fruitfully out from his roots. So basically, there were two problems that we dealt with over here. Number one, why all of a sudden, so to speak, chapter 11 follows chapter 10, here is the great prophecy of Mashiach. What's it doing over here in Yeshayahu? So there we have the great approach of the Maldin, who says that from the moment that the 10 tribes were taken into exile, that means at the beginning of Golos exile, from that moment on and further, the possibility of redemption begins. If there is no exile, there's no need for redemption. But once there is exile, and 80% of the Jewish people are out there in the world, from that moment on begins the possibility of redemption. And here it is, the days of Sancheriv, Chizkiyahu, 80% of Jews are out in the world. Yerushalayim was just about ready to be captured, fall into the hands of Sancheriv, and the great miracle of the destruction of Sancheriv. Now here I want to add one other point. Once there is this great miracle of the destruction of the forces of Assyria around the gates of Yerushalayim, that means that what's operating on high is Chesed. God is already pouring out His loving kindness. Then there is the possibility that this loving kindness is going to overflow and embrace Jews worldwide. So that means that at that moment, at the end of chapter 10, the potential and the possibility of redemption of Geula begins. And Yeshayahu was therefore telling us that in Geula, an essential part of Geula is the personality of the Mashiach. Don't think that Geula is only an epic and a period in history that's not rooted in a particular individual. No, there is a particular individual who is going to be Mashiach. The Maldim further explained the difference between a Choter coming out of a Geza and a Netzer coming out of a Shodesh are the two possibilities of the coming of Mashiach. The possibility of the coming of Mashiach is, while there is a functioning house of David, and from this house of David comes the Mashiach, or the possibility that everything is gone, everything is concealed. Upon the surface of the earth, there is no kingdom or no leadership from the house of David, and there from the very depths of the earth it's going to come out as a sapling from a shoresh. Pasuk Bet, we have to move ahead. We haven't moved. And now, V'nocha olav ruach Hashem, the Spirit of God is going to rest upon him. What is that Spirit? Is a ruach of chachma, bina, wisdom, and understanding. Ruach eitzah, u'gevura, a spirit of counsel and strength. Ruach dat, spirit of knowledge, v'yirat Hashem, and the fear of God. We can't simply assume that each one of these words just, you know, are synonyms. I would like you to look into the Maldim over here, Pasuk Bet, that's on page Kuf Pei Hei. You have that, these? Pei Kuf Pei Hei. In the Maldim. Here.
How do they describe
Bezalel? Huh? How do they describe Bezalel? Oh, absolutely.
We don't have that yet.
Okay. Yes. All right. So the Maldim says the following: V'nocha olav. So he says Hashleimut yihyeh b'shlosha
devarim. Yeah. There. Right here.
Three lines on the bottom on Kuf Pei Hei. Shleimut, in other words, the complete and perfect human being. To be complete requires fully realizing potential in three areas. Aleph, Hashlemiyut HaTluyim Mitzad Sheyesh Lo Nefesh Maskelet, the intellect. Now, the human being has a spirit of intellect, a mind, the human mind. And that human mind has to reach perfection, because we're talking about a perfect or a near-perfect human being, Mashiach. What is it that the intellectual mind, the intellectual soul of human being requires? They are called HaChokhmah V'Abino, wisdom and understanding. And here he gives, he says something that he says in a number of places in Tanakh. HaChokhmah hi hamikubelet lo mirabotav, V'Abino hi hotza'ab davar midavar al yidei hekeshin. What's the difference between Chokhmah and Bina? The Malbim always says that Chokhmah means to be the repository of wisdom that has been transmitted throughout the generations. Chokhmah does not call for unique chidush on the part of the one who has Chokhmah. Chokhmah means that he has received and he retains the wisdom of all previous generations. Bina already means taking that wisdom and being able to apply it. How do you apply it? By seeing the relationship between that wisdom and some new problem that now appears on the horizon. So he says, Bina is hotzas dova midova, to take an idea out al yedei hekeshim, by making comparisons. So it means not only making comparisons, it always means not only making comparisons and making contrasts to be able to see. Somebody last night at the shir, and I've heard it a number of times, and I think that there's something so unbeenaful about it that it can be a classic example. What are people getting upset about somebody who was killed in a pigua? Take a look at how many people are killed in traffic accidents. Now, to be upset about traffic accidents and to want to do something about it is not simply admirable. I hold that it's a matter of pigua method for Klagoskow. But one has nothing to do with the other. One has nothing to do with the other. So because there are traffic accidents, let them come in and shoot us! You understand? There's such a lack of bina. There's no comparison over there. You can't compare. You can't talk about the two in the same breath. Because people have heart attacks, then let the Tanzim do whatever they want. People are dying anyway from heart attacks. How does that sound? How does that grab you in the kishkat? Understand? Oh, you're getting all upset about somebody. Somebody was killed in an attack, and there are all sorts of other terrible things in the world. Something wrong. Traffic accidents, was probably just about the worst waste of life that we experienced in this country. It's unbelievable. It's terrible. But you know, alright, so there we are, our own worst enemies. We have to do something about it. But when we have a worst enemy out there who wants to kill us, that's a different story. You can't make such comparisons. And sometimes you hear these comparisons made, and you know, I have to get involved. No sense. Hekesh means a comparison. And I say that every comparison also requires being able to see a difference, a contrast. Lahakish zeh lo zeh means to compare one thing to another. A hekesh In Torah, in Talmud, a hekesh is just as we find by A that such is true, therefore by B it's also true. I didn't say it certainly is true, because that would be a kal v'chomer. A kal v'chomer is that what applies to A certainly has to apply to B. A hekesh is A and B are both oranges, so what applies to one should apply to the other. Val ze amar. And about this, the Navi says, "V'nocha olav ruach chokma ubina. Chochmah Ubina. Now, the first thing in the pasuk is that they will descend upon him, upon this great individual. He will have Chochmah and Bina. Chochmah means that he has received the wisdom of centuries, and Bina, he knows what to do with it. He knows what to do with it. There are people that have a lot of Chochmah, and Chochmah is not necessarily a guarantee for Bina. You can be the repository of a tremendous amount of information, but you may not be able to know how to apply it, and we find it all the time. And sometimes we have a great deal of respect for people who have a great deal of Chochmah, and we lose sight of the fact that just because you have Chochmah doesn't mean that you are endowed with Bina. So you can have all of this wisdom and simply not know how to apply it, or what's worse, apply it incorrectly. Yes?
I think there's a semantic problem. I think Chochmah is knowledge and Bina is wisdom and understanding.
I think that you're absolutely right. The way in other words, that she's saying, very good. In other words, we usually translate Chochmah as wisdom, and she's saying Chochmah is knowledge. And that's exactly what the Malbim is saying. Moshe also mentioned Bezalel, that the descriptions over here are very similar to... No, she didn't say it loud enough for everybody to hear. Yes, yeah, so?
Rashi says over there, Moshe Parsha, that he has Chochmah, Bina, Tuna, and...
That's right, the same.
He described the Chochmah as accumulation of knowledge.
Accumulation of knowledge, that's excellent. That it should be translated as knowledge, yes?
Just on a personal note,
yes.
You get to the Bar Mitzvah in time to hear the grandfathers speak, both of them. Because it seems to me that they knew in advance what you were going to say today.
Well, I tell you, I got there in middle of the second grandfather's speech last night, because I said a shir in shul, so I couldn't leave until after I said the shir. And all I know is that he mentioned my name after I walked in and talked about our son Menachem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You have to read an amazing article that appeared both in the Ateid and the Hamodi in English here, describing his work in Afula as the most amazing work being done in the country today. How do you like that? In Hamodi last week. Last week, 3-page article. It seems there was some... I want to tell them the story. Yeah, I want to tell them. I can... Some delegation of rabbis and hashivas came from the United States, and they got on a bus, and one of the places they took them to was Afula, and the place that they were most impressed with was Afula. Okay, that's all right. That's why I said it. Okay, that's enough. My wife is getting upset with me. The Nocha all of Ruachachm Ubina. All right, so then Chochmah Ubina describes his intellectual fulfillment. But there's also Hashlemiut Bet is Hashlemiut Hatluyim Itzachu Huadam. There is the Mensch, the Adam part, and one has to be a complete Adam. Vizegi, and you'll see what he means. By the way, the terms that he's going to describe now are words that are used very often in Tanakh. Once you get them down pat now, it will make a lot of other places in Tanakh easier to understand. Vizegi yet be'etza u'gvura, sha'etza kolel shleimut, koach hamedameh, ad sheyashkif b'maskiyot kol davar hashar anechona. Moshe Kosov Hamora. Eitza, counsel, means where I don't have facts before me. I don't have that with which I can clearly prove anything, but I have to use my imagination. I have to be able, in a sense, to anticipate. What will A lead to? Will A lead to B and B lead to C? Well, one has to use imagination. Now, imagination doesn't mean that I simply make things up. But on the basis of past experience and on the basis of Chochmah u'Gvura, what do I now anticipate? That's Eitzah. Hash'ara nechona is a proper assessment of events, what will transpire. Kemoshe Chosov Hamora, that's what the Rambam wrote in the Moreh Nevuchim. Vagvura bo mipat shleimut koach hamit orer. We're on to page Kuf Pei Zayin. Gvura already is that which calls for koach hamit orer. The medieval Jewish philosophers used the koach hamit amer is imagination. Koach hamit orer is that which arouses man to action. In other words, if you have Eitzah, then you have to have Gevurah. If all you have is Eitzah, which means you can, in a sense, imagine what's going to be, but you don't have the Gevurah to do anything about it, then the Eitzah is a Brach Levatala. So that's what he says, Ruach Eitzah U'Gevurah. So here we're talking not about intellectual greatness. Here we are talking about the great. A human being has to be able to anticipate events. He has to have a proper intelligent assessment of a situation, and then he has to have the gvura to act on it. Hashlemiyut the third, he says, there has to be the total human being also has that part of him, the soul that is holy. Hashlemiyut hatluyim mitzad sheyeshlo nefesh kedosha, a holy soul. A tsulami madrom that was taken from the very heights of the world. Shemalatan gavoah min nefesh ha-maskelet. The soul, the holy soul, is greater than the intellect. Ushleimut ha-nefesh hazot talui bameh sheyelo da'at Hashem. Do you know what's going to make him the perfect human being in terms of his sanctity and holiness that affects his neshama? The fact that he has Da'at Hashem, the knowledge of God, Hainu Leidat Deot Amitiot Bamitot Hashem, that he should know the truth about God, Hashgachato Drachav, his divine presence and his divine providence, Udrachav, and his ways, Shezem Midargas Hanavim Shehisigu Amitiot Elu Binhua. The prophets were able to achieve that knowledge of God through prophecy. V'shiyelo ruach, he also has that yirat Hashem, he has that fear of God. Ki hada'at below hayira eina klum. What an amazing statement. All the knowledge in the world without yirat shemayim is useless. It's nothing. I would say it's more than that. All the knowledge in the world without yirat Hashem can become the most destructive force in the world. Because then human knowledge can be used for the worst things possible. V'chein yira v'lo da'at, eino yodea mimihu yira, a person who has fear of God, but has no deya, has no intellect, has no mind. So he doesn't know what to be afraid of. Al pizeh omer, therefore I say, ki shalosh shleimut ele yiye eitzel hamashiach b'shleimut nizgav ad shelo yiye tif'i rak yityaches l'ruach Hashem nizgav min hateva. The Mashiach is going to be perfect, absolute perfection in terms of his intellectual ability, which of course includes, as we said, two things, chokhma and da'at, wisdom, and the ability to apply this wisdom. He is going to be complete in terms of his being a human being, one who is able to anticipate the future, and he has the strength, the courage to do something about it. And third, that he possesses the knowledge of God. His neshama possesses the knowledge of God and fear of God. That's the description of Mashiach. But it's going to be so unusual. His being complete is going to be that exceptional that it will be clear that this is a divine gift. It's not something that man alone is ever capable of achieving. Pasuk 3, V'hadicho b'yirat Hashem. V'hadicho b'yirat Hashem. Rashi seems to learn that Vaharicho means that he's, it comes from the word spirit, that he will have the spirit of fear of God. We'll see right away what that means. V'lo l'mareh einav yishpot. He will not have to judge on the basis of what his eyes see. V'lo l'mishma oznav yochiach, and he will not need to hear with his ears in order to admonish. He's going to have a form of an ability to judge that is going to be, that will be beyond the physical. Take a look at the Malbim Vaharicho. Hayidei Yirat Hashem Yashuv Lihiyot Ruchani. Through his profound fear of God, he's going to become a spiritual being. Sheyit Pashtu Me'alav Kolchotov HaGashmiyim. That his physical needs or his physical strength will be, in a sense, removed, or he will, by chesedim. Remember, this is a little child, by chesedim, they used to say, face a Rebbe at Shalashuda's time, great tzaddikim at Shalashuda's time, were able to achieve a hispashtus hagashmius. Hispashtus hagashmius means that they would leave the confines of the physical body. Remember, in times that the stories that I heard as a child, I became a big rationalist after that, you know. Right? Going back to 50 years, you know, that a Rebbe, when they saw that this was going to happen, they put a fork in his hand in order to keep him rooted within the physical world, and that the neshama should not depart from the body. So he says, the Mashiach is going to be that great of a spiritual being that it will be as though he has completely left his physical existence. Sheyit pashtu me'alav, that will be undressed, taken off from him, his physical strengths. V'lo yishamesh im hachushim v'kochot hachum b'im klal v'rak yet kulo ruchi v'ruach v'nafshi. See, we're unable, since we are physical and we are bound by the physical, we can't imagine an existence beyond that. Therefore, since we are physical beings, what we see, in a sense, is what we believe, and what we hear is what we know. But there is a level above that when seeing and hearing are no longer necessary. There's going to be a spirit of God that is going to tell him what is truth and what is falsehood. What is Tov and what is Ra? Who is really Zakai? Who is really innocent and who is really Chayav? Something, of course, as I said, we cannot understand it, because this is beyond the ken of our ability to imagine. The Gemara says, An Vaharicho B'Yirat Hashem, that he will be able to judge on the basis of the power of smell from Reach. Something that we cannot imagine, we can't understand what it means. Lo l'mareh einav yishpot, the Malbim says, it's not by what he sees by his eyes that he's going to judge. V'hine ha-mishpat hu bein adam l'chavero l'hatzul ashuk mi'adashto. Mishpat always is decisions that are made in the realm of the relationship between men and fellow men to save a person who's been robbed from the person who's robbing him. U'bazeh yishpat ha-shofet l'mashi yireh b'einav mi'hachayav mi'azakai. In matters of that sort, the shofet is the one who's going to make a decision on the basis of evidence that's presented before him, who's guilty and who is innocent. And it's possible for a human being who is a judge that he's going to make a mistake, and therefore the judgment that he's going to pass will be wrong. It's going to be crooked. It's not going to be justice. The Mashiach is not going to have to judge on the basis of what he sees. It is the spirituality that's within him that is going to give him a level of knowledge well beyond the knowledge that one receives by virtue of the physical senses of seeing and hearing. Velo, yes?
Beyond Moshe
the Man. Kasha. I'll tell you her Kasha. Her Kasha is, does that put him beyond the powers that Moshe Rabbeinu had?
judge the people.
Ah, so I have to say the following. It cannot be beyond the powers of Moshe, because one of the 13 articles of the faith is Animanim Bemuna Shlema, that Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest of all prophets. There was none before him and none after him who will be like him. If anything, you know what you're getting? You're getting over here a picture of one part of what Moshe Rabbeinu was, except that Moshe Rabbeinu went one giant step further, that God spoke to him panim al panim, face to face. But we cannot say that the Moshiach is in any way going to be greater than Moshe, because that would be a stand in absolute opposition to a basic article of faith.
Moshe was judging.
Yeah.
No. Because he seems like a human judge.
The judgment that he performed was a human judgment. Because I tell you, if it was this kind of judgment, then he should have told his father-in-law, who stuck his nose into his business, and tells him, why are you sitting here all day and all of the people are lining up over there? And he says, because they come to me for judgment. So he gives him the great idea, set up a system. Put together a prakli tooth, you understand? Put together a system. Now, if he would have been judging on this basis, so Moshe should have told us, well, listen, Shver Tayera, I would love to do it, but there's nobody else who can do it the way I do it. He didn't tell him that, which means that Moshe too was judging either on that basis, or the only thing that Moshe had that went beyond everybody else's ability is when he didn't know, he could turn directly to God. And that's why at the end he says, Hadovra caught on small things, Yishvutu Heim, they will judge, but Hadovra got all the big things your view of life will bring to me, and if I don't know, so I'll turn to God. But here, well, let's see what kind of judgment he's going to pass.
Interesting footnote here on Kafka.
Yes? What does it say?
It says, for the lack of the talent of a sense of smelling, judging.
The Gemara says that. Gemara says that Bar Kochba was not able to judge on the basis of the sense of smell. It's not that simple.
No, I know.
But
that's
the point. Yes, the Gemara says that. But there's a great deal more to be said. All right, let's go a little further. Yes. Absolutely, it will be apparent, because that's what's going to be described in the psukim to come. The whole world is going to accept guidance and direction and instruction from him. It's going to be absolutely apparent. The only question that you can ask, therefore, is how were we fooled over the centuries by those who didn't? You know, anybody who learned chapter 11 could never have thought that Shabtai Tzvi was a Mashiach, or Yaakov Frank and the others. There was the period of the false Mashiachim. The only thing that you can say is that the state of Jews in the world was so, so terrible that they grabbed onto any straw, anything that they felt was was hope. I mean, those were terrible, terrible periods in Jewish history, you know. I've just been reading about the Shabtai Tzvi and all about it. It's unbelievable what went on in the Jewish world. 1666, 1667. Oh, come then come the Khmelnytsky, right on the heels of Shabtai Tzvi. A whole Jewish world was caught up in this struggle. And very few people that had their heads clear and above. And we cannot, difficult to judge them, because there were such tzavos, I mean, with all the tzavos that we have now, there's no comparison to what the Jews who are poverty-stricken, penurious, what they suffered in Europe for close to 1,000 years. It's unbelievable. Alright, fight. Lo l'mishma ozav yechiyach. It's not by what he hears that he will admonish. Ha-tochacho hu al ma'alim lo tovim shenodu lo mi'et ha'am. Tochacha is always deeds that are not good. That he knows about it because the people tell him, and then he admonishes the people. The derech hamochiach sheyochicham al pi ma sheshama misaprim aleihem. The a person admonishes on the basis of, you know, what he hears people are doing. They tell him what people are doing, and then he responds. Kmo shekasuv lo tova ashmu asher anochi shomea ma'avidim am Hashem. It's not good that which I hear that you, this is Eli saying to his children, Chofni u'Pinchos. Lo tova ashmu asher anochi shomea. It's not good that which I hear, ma'avidim am Hashem, that you are causing the people of God to sin. V'gam bazel lefamim yashvil yozom hefach emesna. Sometimes the information that's going to be brought to a person is the opposite of truth. It's not true. Can't always be certain that what you hear is the truth. Avol HaMoshiach yochiach mitzad shiyeda hadvorim bruach kodsho. The admonishing that's going to come from Moshiach is going to be on the basis of information that he receives through the Holy Spirit, not on the basis of what people are going to tell him. And therefore, Pasuk Dalet back into the Navi v'shachat b'tzedek dalem, he will judge the poor in righteousness, v'hochiyar b'mishor la'an ve'oretz, and he is going to admonish in correctness to the meek of the earth, v'hiko eretz, he's going to smite the earth b'shevet piv with the stick of his mouth, u'b'ruach svatav yamit rosha, and with the spirit that comes out of his lips, he will kill the evil. Now then, the shafat, he says the term that he used, this pasuk really corresponds to what was said in the pasuk before. What were the two things that were said in the pasuk before? He's not going to judge on the basis of sight, nor is he going to admonish on the basis of what he hears. So he says, in the pasuk before it said, lo lemareh einav yishpot, he's not going to judge on the basis of what his eyes see, rak v'shafat b'tzedek dalim. Hatzedek atzmo hu yeh even v'anach b'yado bo yivchan et hamishpat. Tzedek itself, righteousness itself, is going to be the measuring rod that is in his hand through which he is going to judge justice. Tzedek is going to be the means by which he is going to judge the poor. He's not going to need people who are going to present their claims before him. And because if people have to start, Reuven says this and Shimon says that, the possibility of making a mistake is clearly there. But the means by which he's going to judge is going to be his absolute clear sense of tzedek. What did it say in the puzzle before? It's not by virtue of that which he hears with his ears that he will admonish. He will be mochiach with Yosher, HaYosher Atzmo Hu Yeh B'Yado Peles. Yosher, righteousness, correctness, straightness is the scale that's going to be in his hand. There will not be outside influences that are going to diminish his ability to arrive at the truth. Tzedek and Yosher are going to be the means by which he will judge. Bo yochia b'musaro la'anovim sheyekablu musar. The meek of the earth, those who are ready to listen to him, they will hear him, because his yashrus is going to be that straight that he will not turn to the left or the right. Vehika, and he's going to smite the earth with the stick of his mouth. Mitzayeh, the picture that's being painted by Yeshayahu. Ki yimso eretz umedina. If there's going to be a land or a state that's not going to accept the words of Moshiach, Yakeh otak kula b'shevet piv v'kilalato. Shevet piv means his curse. What he says is going to come true. V'lo yitzarech shevet u'mitzua. He's not going to need a stick or a whip. Ki piv yeh shevet bo yakeh aratzot u'mitinot. The mouth is going to be it. Now, I don't know whether we have to learn that he's going to destroy, you know, abracadabra, and destroy it. it may be abracadabra, and they're going to see the truth of the Mashiach and the greatness. Yes.
He will be endowed with way beyond what the human potential is possibly achieving. So will people understand that he is a human being that is endowed with Ruach HaKodesh? I mean, his potential goes beyond human accomplishment, apparently. I mean, his physical limitations are constantly described as not being really his particular area of activity.
Which means, therefore, that he, in that sense, he's going to be Moshe-like. He's going to be Moshe-like. And you should know that there was one problem with Moshe, and that problem is dealt with a number of places by two of the great of the 19th century, Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch and the Meshech Chachma. There are always things that keep popping up in Torah in order to make clear to the Jewish people that Moshe Rabbeinu is a man of flesh and blood. Because there's a terrible, terrible fear. By the way, that was one of the things that happened with the Egel. Because there were those who already understood Moshe as being a supernatural human being, God-like. Listen, Arboim Yom, Arboim Laila, 40 days and 40 nights, 3 days, Lechem, I didn't eat bread, and I didn't want it. This is a scary thing. This is very beautiful. Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch, at the beginning of Parshat Va'eira, before the first Makkah, we are told the families of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. There's a counting. The names. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. And Levi will come down to Moshe and Aaron and Miriam. So Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch has a great question. Why does this come plunk down over here in Parshat Va'eira? God has told Moshe, go ahead, tell old Pharaoh, let my people go, and the process has begun. Why all of a sudden does the Torah put this in here? It's a beautiful essay in his parish on Chumash, where he says, do you know what Torah wants to point out over here? That Moshe Rabbeinu had a father and a mother and brother and sister and uncles and aunts and Zaydis and Bubbis. That this is a man of flesh and blood. Make no mistake and think that this is some kind of a divine being. Moshe is a man of flesh and blood. The one who has to explain this even more is Reb Meir Simcha, because Reb Meshech Chochma, in his introduction to Sefer Shemot, says the following. Since Moshe is the one who is going to be giving Torah to the Jewish people, then when he acts as the one, as the go-between, between God and the Jewish people, he must be removed from free will. Because if Moshe Rabbeinu would have free will, there would always remain the question, maybe this mitzvah that he gave us was his. Maybe there are mitzvot that were given that he never told us, because he made a choice. So the Meshech Chochma proves, I mean, it's a major essay of Meshech Chochma, and it's one of the themes in his sefer, that Moshe Rabbeinu simply acted, when he acted as the giver of Torah, he acts without free will, he is completely shaliach. So therefore, he also has to make sure, and I mean, if I put together all of the units, it wouldn't be a bad shir to put together all of the various places where both Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch and Meshech Chochma talk about this. Mashiach, it is possible to make that mistake. I don't want to elaborate on, but there are people here and now who have made that mistake. There's a question. They may be called a fringe element, fringe Haint, fringe Morgan. There's no question about it that there is a group in Chabad that sees the Rebbe not only as Mashiach, but frighteningly enough one step further. Melech Malchei Akimai. I can't say how to my mouth. There's no question about it. The mistake is possible. Listen, when we will see the Rambam, what the Rambam writes, that the period of Mashiach is not going to be a period of meta-history beyond history. Olam kimin hago nohe. And if the world is going to continue as it normally is, that means the possibility of people making mistakes will exist in the time of Mashiach. There will be tremendous knowledge of God, as the Pasuk is going to say, that the world will be full of the knowledge of God, kamayim layam mechasin, as the waters cover the seas. It doesn't mean that there won't be the possibility of error. We're going to need the Mashiach to admonish. We're going to need it. Yes. For sure.
He's going to be a person without any kind of fault.
Wait. Why are you upset? What's wrong if he's a person without any kind of fault?
Because
we need somebody like that desperately. Because we're all false.
But
he's not immortal.
Like that.
He's not immortal. Why? Because he's going to establish Malchut Beit David. That's what he's going to do. He's going to re-establish the dynasty of Malchus Beis David, and he'll be followed. We don't know how long the Messianic era can be. It can be thousands of years. So why are you so upset if there's a perfect human being?
No, I'm not upset.
And we won't be able to make clones of him.
No, not at all, but it's that he would be a person that is beyond somebody like Moshe Rabbeinu, who is endowed with...
Yeah, but I can't... If you want to say it, you can at least say it's simple. I'll tell you simple. In one respect, Moshiach certainly is less than Moshe. And I'm not talking now about his physical or spiritual abilities. There's one thing he cannot say. He cannot say that one mitzvah in the of the 613 no longer applies. The moment he would ever say that, in which he is challenging the word of Moshe, you know what we know? That he is a Moshiach Shekel. Finished. So that means, regardless of all the great abilities that he has, he is one notch below Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, I gotta get another few psukim. It's a desperate need of mine. All right. Nesha or Rosha Haproti Shimra Nekdo, the Rosha who's going to rebel against him, Lo Yitzdarech L'Kalalo Klal, the Rosha he won't have to curse at all. Rak V'ruach HaYotzei Rak Misvatav HaChitzoniyim Yam Yimitan. Take a look at the end of Pasuk Dalet. V'hikar Eretz V'shevet Piv. Hikar Eretz means he will admonish nations. U'B'ruach Svatav Yamit the Rosha, and with the spirit of his lips he will kill the Rasha. You see, those two phrases are four words each. There are a number of differences between the four words. In the first four words, it talks about his mouth. In the second, it talks about his lips. In the first, it talks about a nation, the width of his mouth. When it talks about svatav, his lips, it talks just about ruach. What is ruach svatav? The breath that comes out. So the Malbim, looking at everything not merely as poetic, but that there's meaning and significance to the difference, he says, fine, we understand it all now. The first phrase that's talking about a nation, a people, a land, then it's going to have to be a words that are said through the mouth. The mouth will become the shevet, the stick and the staff that destroys. The second phrase is talking about a single individual Rasha. He will not have to curse him. Just the little wind or breath that comes out of the lips of Moshiach will be enough to destroy him. That's all. It's just so beautiful how he sees so clearly the differences between phrases. Pasuk Hey, Bahaya Tzedek Ezor Masnav. Tzedek is going to be the belt with which he girds himself, his strength. Boha emuna and faith will be Ezor Chalatzav, also the belt around his side. Pasuk Vav, we're going to take it, these are the Pesukim we have to learn now. Yes, the famous Pesukim, V'gorza Eivim Kevet. V'gorza Eivim Kevet. I thought we'll have to see at the Malvim on the Pasuk before, I haven't forgotten that. V'gorza Eivim Kevet, the wolf is going to live? How do they translate this? Dwell with the sheep, the nomer, and the leopard, and Gedi Yirbots will lie down with the goat, the egel, Ukvir, Umiri, Yagdav, a calf, and a young lion, and a Miri is a fattened cow? Who's got the air? Yagdav, all of them together, Venar Katon, no Hebam, and a little boy is going to lead them. I mean, this is amazing. Oh.
This is a poetic vision. Because if the world continues in a normal manner.
Oh, so that's one approach. You're expressing the approach of the Rambam. Why do you think I gave you Rambams over there? Because we're going to have to see exactly what the Rambam says about this. The Rambam sees all of this as a metaphor that people are going to live in peace with one another. But the nature of the leopard is not going to change. The nature of the wolf is not going to change. Because in Yemot HaMashiach, and this is how the Rambam Paskins, like Shmuel said, Ein Bein HaOlam HaZeh LaOlam Haba. And Shmuel is talking about the historic world to come. There's no difference between the world in which we live today and the world to come as it will be in the days of Mashiach. Elo Shi Abud Malchiyot Bulvad. The only difference is going to be that we are going to be free of the yoke of nations. But otherwise, we're going to have to eat, and we're going to have to sleep, and you know, all the bodily normal functions, everything is going to continue. We're going to have to plow and plant, and so the Navi says that the
mortality, people will die.
That's
right. I mean,
I like to talk about people living normally. Why do I have to talk about people dying?
Well, I'm thinking about what will happen after Moshiach, who is a human being, goes away.
So then, according to the Rambam, there is going to be a period of the Messianic era, which is a period in history. And it's from different sources, it seems that will last 1,000 years, and then comes the period of Tchiyat HaMeitim, when the dead will come back to life. Tchiyat HaMeitim, remember, if article number 12 in the Rambam is, I believe with perfect faith in the coming of the Mashiach, we can't stop at number 12. Number 13 is that I believe in the resurrection of the dead, Kishiyahu L'Ratzon, when it will be the will of God. So there's going to be a period within normal history that's going to be normal. And then following that, there's going to be the period of Tchiyat HaMeitim. Ufarav Adov Tidenah. A cow and a bear will graze together. Yachdav Yirbitzil Yaldeyan, together their children will lie down. Va'adiye Karbakar Yochal Teven, and the lion like cattle will eat straw, hay. V'shiasha Yonek, a Yonek is a nursing child, is going to play Al Chur Paten by the hole in which there is a potan. A potan is a snake, a poisonous snake. Va'al mu'urat tzif oni. A mu'urah is the cave in which the tzif oni, another kind of poisonous snake. Gomel, a gomel is older than a yonek. A yonek is a child who is still nursing. A gomel is the one who has already been weaned. When did Avram and Sarah make a party? They made a party for Yom Higomel at Yitzchak, when Yitzchak was weaned and didn't have to nurse anymore. Yodo Hadar, he's going to stretch his hand into the lair of the poisonous snake, and nothing is going to happen.
Look at this, showing a change in their nature.
So that's why all of these psukim, Vav, Zayin, Chet, all of them, the Rambam says, are poetic forms that describe peace and tranquility that will exist on the face of this earth. The fact is that if a little child is going to put his hand into the wrong place, he's going to get bitten. That's what's going to happen. But all of this is a means by which to describe nations are snakes and vipers. And then there are the young nations, and then there are the weak that are exploited throughout history. That exploitation will come to an end. Not everybody agrees with the Rambam. Lo yareyu v'lo yashchisu v'chol harkotchi, there will be no evil nor destruction. I like this, v'chol harkotchi, they're going to stop digging. V'chol harkotchi upon my holy mountain, ki mala ha'odetz deyot Hashem, because the world is going to be full of the knowledge of God, kamayim layam mechasin, like the waters cover the sea. Now you see, these first nine psukim have been, number one, a description of the personality of Mashiach, and a description of the period, the epoch in which Mashiach will function. There will be lo yarei v'lo yishchisu. By the way, it means therefore that these first nine psukim are really universal in their significance. Nothing has been said here in any special way about the Jewish people, except in the first pasuk. That's God's harkachi. The only thing specific for the Jewish people is that he's going to come from Geza Yishai. But nothing here has been said about the position of the Jewish people in that historic era. That's going to come in the Psukim afterwards. In other words, I believe what the Navi wants to tell us is that Mashiach is going to be a universal force and a universal power. Nations are going to be admonished by the words that come out of his mouth. He is going to be the source of justice and tzedek for a whole world. But then comes, following the universal, comes the particular. And in Pasuk Yud, and further, is the particular. V'hoya v'yomahu shodesh. No, I'm sorry. Pasuk Yud is really the one that sums up the universal dimension of Mashiach, and the Psukim afterwards are the particular. Take a look at this description. V'hoya v'yomahu, on that day, Shodesh Yishai, the root that comes out of Yishai, Asher omed l'neis amin, who stands as a banner for all the nations of the world. Elov goyim yidroshu, the nations of the world are going to come and seek him. V'haytam minuchato kavod, and where he rests will be the source of his great honor. They're going to come to him. This is clearly universal. Nothing specifically Jewish, except for the fact that he is from Shodesh Yishai. And this is really from Yud Aleph, and further is the reason why this chapter 11 appears over here. This is what the first great prophecy in Yeshayahu about Kibbutz Goliath, the ingathering of the exiles. Yes, Jews being brought to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, we'll go through those psukim, but here we have the general outline. The Rambam, you have the Rambams in front of you over there. It's not if you have the Rambams. I have the Rambams. Rambams that you have over there.
Two sheets.
Yeah. Now, if you take a look at the page numbers, it begins with page Top Yud Bet. Perek, see that? Perek Achadasar. Yeah. Okay. What should be the last page that you have? Perek Shneim Asar.
Yeah.
You got it? Let's learn that first halacha. His description of Mashiach is all in chapter 11. Isn't that interesting? The Rambam is chapter 11. In Yeshayahu, it's chapter 11. The particular aspects of the Mashiach begin Pasuk 11 in chapter 11. Alright. Yeah, as long as we're not in chapter 11. That's right.
Okay.
So I don't have another one. Wait.
I know, but...
Oh, yeah, I do have. I do have. Yes.
I do have. So just here, I just want to read chapter 12 in the Rambam, Al Yala Al Halev. Let it not occur to you, don't let it occur to you that in the days of Mashiach anything is going to change from what the world was always all about. Don't think that there's going to be something new in the act of creation. The world is going to conduct itself the way it always did. And that which it says in Yeshayahu, it is a parable and a chida. The word chida can mean either riddle or, but it means, it has a broader meaning in Tanakh. Chida is a message. It appears a number of times in Yecheskel with where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him Mishol, Moshol, V'chod, Chida. Huh? Yes, by Shimshon there. In other words, the word Chida can mean the English word riddle as by Shimshon, and it can also mean something, and I don't know, just off the top of my head, it seems to me that the word Chida, you have the word Chod, something sharp. That there can be a deep message over there, something very sharp that requires your ability to understand. So he says, Inyan Hadava, the Rambam explains, what does it mean? What do these psukim in Yeshayahu mean? Sheyi Yisrael Yoshim Lebetach Im Rishei Goyim Hamishulim Kaze'ev V'Nomer. That Israel will live in security Im Rishei Goyim with the evil of the nations, who are compared, the metaphor for them is Ze'ev V'Nomer, the wolf and the leopard. Shenema Ze'ev Aravot Yishadetein Nomer Shoked Al Oreihem in Yirmiyahu. Ze'ev and Nomer describes those who stand ready to pounce upon the cities of Israel. Ze'ev Aravot Yishadetein, the wolf of the Arava, Yishadetein is going to rob them. Nomer, a leopard, Shoked, who's there upon their cities. V'yalzeru kulam l'dat ha'emet v'lo yitzlu v'lo yashchitus, he says, all are going to return to the true religion, and they're not going to steal, and they're not going to be destructive. Ela yochlu dovar ha'mutar benachat in Yisrael, they will, since he's going to be quoting the pasuk from Yeshayahu, another, they're going to eat that which is permitted. He doesn't mean that the goyim are going to eat only badatz or rabbanut Yerushalayim Mahadrin. What he means is, in achila, remember, also can be a destructive or a positive force. For example, we're going to say in the Haggadah, Shvel chamos ha'vagoyim asher lo yaducha va'almam lachot asher b'shimcha lo karo ki ochlu et Yaakov. They have eaten Yaakov. They have consumed him. So he says, in those days, yochlu dovar hamutar benachat, in Israel they will eat that which is permitted. In other words, they're going to conduct themselves according to law and justice with Israel. Shenema va'arye kabaka, Yeshayahu says, the lion, like cattle, will eat straw. V'chein kol k'yotzei ve'elu hadvarim b'inyan ha-Mashiach, all of these things that you read about Mashiach, hein mishalem, they are all mishalem, proverbs, metaphors. Ubiyimot ha-melech ha-Mashiach yivod ala kol le'eze dover ho-yamashal u'ma inyan ramzu behen. I think this is most probably one of the most important statements the Rambam is making. What it truly means, you will only know after the fact. Now, to try to figure out now in advance what each one of the parables is talking about is an exercise in absolute futility. But you know what's important? If you don't know the pasuk, you won't know what to look back on. You have to know the pasuk so that when the event will happen, oh, that's what Yeshayahu meant. Now, I made that statement for a particular reason. You know, I have debated over the years with people, you know, well, State of Israel, garnished with nothing happened over it. So then I start quoting psukim of Kibbutz Goliath throughout all of the Nevi'im. They didn't know the psukim. If you don't know the psukim, if you don't know what Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, and Yechezkel say about the ingathering of the exiles, obviously you don't see anything happening. You have to know the psukim first. You are prepared. You will be able to understand what's meant by Ba'arye Kambokar Yochal Teben. Amru Chachamim. Mommy, we don't have to go any further at this point. Amru Chachamim. Ein Vein Ha'olam Azel Yimot HaMashiach. This is what I quoted to you before. Ein Vein Ha'olam Azel Yimot HaMashiach. Ela Shibud Malchiyot Bilvad. The difference between, in other words, in nature it will be the same. The only difference between this period in which we live and that period is going to be we will no longer be subdued under the kingdoms. Yeiro'eh mipshutam shel divrei nevi'im, it seems. You can see from the simple words of our nevi'im. Take a look. Yeah? He can give you some kind of an outline of what's going to happen. At the beginning of the days of Mashiach, there will be the war of Gog and Magog. Before the war of Gog and Magog, Yamod Navi liasher Yisrael ulahachin libam. Even before the terrible war of Gog and Magog, there will arise a prophet who's going to cause the Jewish people to be straight, ulahachin libam, and to prepare their hearts for it. Because you should know, you can say from Huntington's Morgan, we want Mashiach now, or hikonu lebiat haMashiach, but you should know it needs a tremendous amount of preparation emotionally, spiritually, and a lot of other, and psychologically. And there's going to be somebody, the Rav Shem, to make sure that there's going to be somebody, a prophet, who is going to create a Yisrael that is Yoshar and prepare the heart. Shenema, Hinei Anochi Sholeach Lachem et Elio Hanavi Lishnei Bo Yom Hashem Godol V'Hanora. That happens to be the last pasuk in the Haftarah of Shabbos HaGadol that we read this year is going to be Erev Pesach. By the way, that's one of the reasons that the Mefarshim give. Why is that Shabbos called Shabbos HaGadol? Because the pasuk says over there, Hinei Anochi Shalach Lachem Es Elio Hanavi Lishnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol V'Hanora, before the great day of God. So Elio Hanavi's job is going to be to prepare us emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually for the coming of Mashiach. V'Ein Obo Lo L'Tamei Hatar V'Lo L'Tahir Hatamei. Elio Hanavi is not going to come to Letame to make that which is Tahor impure or vice versa. Below the soul, Anoshim Shein Bechess was Kashrus. Below the Hashem Mishach Chulz Bupzulin, and he's not going to come to tell us that the people who we thought are kosher, that they're Jewish, even here, he's not going to be the Misrad Apnim. He's not going to decide Mihu Yehudi. He's not going to parcel the kosher. He's not going to kosher the parcel. Elo, he comes for only one purpose, that is Lasum Shalom Ba'alam, to make peace in the world. Shenema, that's also in that Haftarah, the Heshiv Leib Avot Al Banim, Vleib Banim Al Avotam. And the Heshiv Leib, so therefore the Rambam here is also learning the Heshiv Leib Avot Al Banim, Vleib Banim Al Avotam, does not talk only about the relationship of fathers and sons, but it is the relationship of all men to their fellow men. The Yeshvin Achacham Shamrim, there are those from the Chacham who say Shekodim Biach HaMashiach Yovo Elio, before the coming of the Mashiach Elio will come. And here he makes the comment again. It's really a second time that he's making this comment, but in a different way. V'chol Elo Advarim V'chayotzu Behem, all of these things and similar ones, Lo Yeda Adam Eich Yiyu Ad Sheyiyu, no man will know how they will be until they will be. Of course, it certainly means that the Rambam has taken a position that, the rationalist position, not the position of Kabbalah. In Kabbalah, one looks into the Zohar gives all sorts of scenarios. A final historic, but he says, no, we'll never know after you. Shedvorm stumim hei meitzal ha-Nevi'im. Rambam says, because these words are really concealed, they're closed by the Nevi'im. Gam ha-chachavim ein lehem Kabbalah b'dvarim elu. Chachmei Yisrael have not received, by the word Kabbalah over here, it does not mean Jewish mysticism. What he means is, we have not received any kind of information about this. By the way, if we're talking about that, remember, how did the Malbim define Chachmah? Chachmah is the wisdom that we have received, that has been transmitted by some generation. And we don't have any of this. All that we have is how we decide the psukim mean. Because two people can look at a pasuk in two different ways. That's why there are differences of opinion. This is what's important to the Rambam. How these things are going to happen and in what order and what will be, these are not fundamental principles of faith. If you believe that Elio will come before Mashiach, or you believe Mashiach, Elio will come after Mashiach, doesn't make you a kaifa b'hik, it doesn't make any difference. And therefore, since it's not part of the essential creed, so he takes you one step further, which is even more fascinating. Ula'olam lo yitasek adam b'divrei ha'agadot, v'lo yadir b'midrashot ha'amurim b'nyonu elu v'chayotze behem, v'lo yisimein ika, she'ein mevi'in lo lidei yira, v'lo lidei ahava. You hear what the Rambam is saying. He says, you should not become involved in the study of those divrei agadah or those medrashim, and don't spend a lot of time thinking about them and pondering and trying to learn pshat. Don't make them important and ikar, because they don't bring to fear of God and they don't bring to love of God. That's quite a statement. Quite a statement. By the way, he doesn't need me to say it, but he's absolutely right. It has most probably caused more machlekes and more ill will, and people don't really know what they're talking about, because you can bring one statement of our rabbis that seems say one way and another that says another way, and we don't know what these things are. So the Chamon's advice is the very, very best advice. The chen lo yichashev hakitzin, person should not try to figure out the end of days. Don't make any calculations. Amru chachamim, our wise men said, Tipach rucham shel mechashvei hakitzin, let the life go out of those who calculate the end of days. Also, something, quite a klala that was said about those who involve themselves in figuring out the end of days. Eli yichake v'yamin b'chlal hadavar. A person should wait and believe in the idea in general that there will be a Melech HaMashiach, and there's going to be a king, a person, King Mashiach. That's what you have to believe. The details, each one of us in our own experience, how many times have we heard, oh, this year, Pesach time, Chaydnish, what's going to be in the world? The Mekubalim in Yerushalayim are topping valiums, what's going to be this year? I've heard it already, 20 times, 30 times? Yeah. The Gulf War, this is, if Saddam Hussein attacks, that's going to be Gogumago. We don't know. As Fanag Banaj Mizak, so therefore the Rambam gives the best advice. Yechakeh the Yamin. But don't try to, there are general themes that we know are related to Gula. General themes that are clear. And of course, one of the classic general themes is Kibbutz Golios, the return of Jews to Eretz Yisrael. That is okay. All right, save all of these sheets. You should have a crack touch in the Sameach. I think I'm going to miss you. And the Mashiach should come in, so that when we learn the Pesukim again, by the way, read chapter 11. Read it. When we learn it again, we'll say, oh, that's what it means. When Barry comes out of prison and he eats a Ramon, that's Arye Kapaka Yachal Tevin. To redeem a donkey. All right, we have to be able to smile occasionally. I met a friend of mine, immediately, the Wednesday meeting they have to pay. I'll tell you, I'm walking up from the pier over here, so I meet a friend of mine, I haven't seen him in years, so he says, you know, on Monday I married off my third daughter. I married off my third daughter, said, great. He says, we went from a Levaya, we went to the Chasana. Baruch Cohen of Efrat lives three houses away. So the wedding party went to the Levaya, and from the Levaya they went to the... Is that not a sign of our times, the times in which we... Anyway, everything should be... Everyone should be. Huh? If yes, Hashem, yes, we're going to.